I want to thank the youth group for their work they've put in for today's service. But for those of that you don't know, I'm Pastor Ben. I do the youth ministry here. And when I was putting together the idea of doing a youth Sunday, it's kind of hard. Like, what do I preach on? Do I bring you guys something that everybody can take, or do I focus on the youth? You know, it's kind of hard to bring in the youth and then it hit with everybody. But that was my goal, and I try to do that today. But ministry is not my only job. I'm a father of seven, so that gives me a good that keeps me pretty busy. But also I work part time here, but I do full time with waste management. So in my job, I get to see some pretty unique things on a daily basis dealing with trash. I'm always amazed at some of the things that people manage to throw away, and I found everything from a guitar and a banjo to new shoes and golf clubs. And actually this week I was telling Colton, I threw away a stuffed moose head. The antlers were off of it, but it was like this tall, this wide, and I was thinking, man, if I could just put this in the truck and put it on the passenger seat or something and bring this home with me, it'd be so cool. But it was too big, so it was a old beat up moose head that I threw out. But one thing that never ceases to amaze me is how people can care so much for their pets just by looking at their trash, I can tell, than they do themselves. I actually have a customer that has two cans that I pick up. One is spray painted and says cat, and one is spray painted and says garbage, and they put all of their cat's garbage in one can and all of their garbage in another, and I thought that's kind of odd. And then there's these people that feed their dogs this gourmet dog food like salmon and sweet potato or lamb chops and quinoa or something like that. Pretty fancy, right? And I said quinoa right. But I also see in the same trash that their diet consists of a variety of fast food, carry out, like, and then some Cheetos, some Vienna sausages in a can, some Twinkies by the box full, and I just find it really, really odd. But when I see this, I come to realize that sometimes we put more care into our pets' health than we do our own, and you're probably saying, where's Ben going with this, and what's that have to do with today's message? But might be a stretch, but here it is. But oftentimes as parents or grandparents or aunts, uncles, whatever you are, you fit into this one category where you know some kids, but we put more focus on our kids' spiritual development, more pressure on our kids to succeed, while we might be spiritually unfit and unhealthy. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul recognizes this as a relevant issue, even with himself and his own life, and as a Christian leader and example to many. And in verse 27, he says this, and right before this he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run to receive a prize? He trains his body and disciplines himself. But verse 27 is different. He says, he disciplines his body and brings it under strict control that after preaching to others, I myself may not be disqualified. And he recognizes the danger of being so consumed with what is good for others and everyone else that we can lose our own focus and devotion to the biblical standards we hold others to. So today we're going to look at what it takes for us to raise godly kids. It's my prayer that whether you're a parent or a grandparent, an aunt and uncle, wherever you are, you know a kid that you have an impact on. But it's my prayer that you can take something away as we walk through some scripture today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you so much for this day to come together and worship in your name and sing praise to you. And God, we thank you for the youth of this church, and God, we lift them up to you, and we lift up the parents of the youth. We pray for them, and God, we just pray that we can raise godly children and raise kids that bring up kids that fear and love you too, Lord. That's our prayer, that we can grow as a church and lift the teens up, lift the kids up, whether it's the kids' ministry all the way up to the teens, God, that they know they're loved here at the church, and they know they serve a mighty God. God, we just pray that we're a church that projects that to them, and a church that shows that light in this community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in your notes, I put a little insert in there, but we're going to be focusing on four major areas here, and they're kind of outlined in this handout. The first of those is going to be recognizing your child as God's child. It's really hard for us to do this. I remember when Rick and I were talking, one of the first nights I was up here, Rick was talking to me, and he was talking about this drum set right here. And he used to kind of freak out when somebody might be playing with his drum set, and somebody finally told him, "Is that your drum set or God's drum set?" So that's just a drum set. But with our kids, it's really hard to say, you know, I'm turning them over to God, and they're really God's kids, and God's just blessed us with this opportunity to raise them up. And when we look at that as parents, that's an intimidating thing, right? We're handling God's children, and he's put us in charge of them. But there's a couple verses here we're going to look at, and the first one is in Ephesians 6:4, and it says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Bring them up in the training and the instructions of the Lord." So being at odds with your kids over choices he or she's making, they're probably going to come up on a daily basis. Parents, can I get an amen? All right. Now, how do we handle these situations as parents? Not situations like, should I wear flip-flops and shorts and it's 12 degrees outside? Not those kinds of situations. I'm talking about parents shoving their kids into their intentions onto their children. So kind of pushing their children where they want them to go, and it might be against their children's will. Deciding what activities the kids should participate in, and who they're friends with, where they go to college, and even beyond that. Parenting beyond high school and beyond adulthood happens very often. So oftentimes going against our children's natural abilities and desires. When we fight against or even deny our children opportunities to be who they are created to be, we can do more than stir up anger, as the scripture said. We can also damage the self-confidence of the kids, squelch their desire and ability to become independent, and pretty much set up a life of unsettledness and wondering what might have been with them. So, understandable, because as parents, we love to protect our children, and that's what we really do. We lead them away from danger and towards making the best choices in their life. Okay, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But the problem we often encounter is this. Sometimes what we as parents think is the best isn't. And as a parent, that's hard to say. Some parents have the tendency to make choices for their children based on their own wants and desires instead of those that their children are created to be. And you hear about this often, like parents kind of living through their children and driving their kids to do these certain things because they didn't do them or they wanted them to be like this when they were younger. Learning how to let your children discover and become the person that God created them to be is essential for raising children who love and respect themselves, you, and God, even when their goals are going to be different than the goals that you dreamed about for them. Okay, Romans 12:6 says this: "According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If it's prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith." Okay, but according to the grace given to us, we all have different gifts. Okay, while studying this subject, I came across this statement. I'm going to read this, and it just really hits on it. But it says, "Even our child's education system is not the least bit shy about trying to force our children to choose careers in the fields of science and technology. The STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math curriculum model is not only desired, but expected in most schools these days. Now, while there's nothing wrong with pursuing the career in any of these fields, not every child is capable of doing so. Not every child even wants to do so. But society actually frowns upon spending too much time on the arts, English and grammar, practical arts such as home ec, or even history and PE. Not only does this wrongly negate the value of the other subjects in school and other career choices, but this mindset is doing our children a great disservice on many levels." It's so true. Okay, we're pushing things onto these kids. And now, one step in the right direction is the STEAM program. They inserted an A in there, and that incorporates art. But kids are different. Okay, go back to that scripture. We all have different gifts. Okay, we have different gifts, and as parents, we need to know these facts. So here's a couple facts about that. Over 60% of teens say that their parents are one of the top two factors for defining their sense of identity and self-worth. 95% of teens say their number one hero is a parent. Okay, so parents, we have a big influence on them in this direction here. 73% of parents highly involved in their child's life said part of their motivation to be highly involved in the child's life was to ensure their success, or to ensure their child's success and eventually entry into a top university. 73%. 39% of children 12 and under admit to feeling pressured by their parents to succeed. And over 50% of parents start their children in sports by age 5 so that they can be ready for more aggressive, competitive travel teams by age 8. Okay, so parents, you might say, oh, we don't do that, but here's some stats. We do. We tend to push kids in certain directions. So what I did for each section here that we're going to go through is I'm trying to give you guys some practical tips for kids of every age, how we can do better when it comes to helping children realize these things. But so the first group, we're going to look at what we can do to help children realize who God created them to be. So even starting at a young age, so we're going to talk about toddlers and elementary age kids here, but at an early age, don't force your toddler to be best friends with your best friend's kid. It happens, okay? Make sure you watch your kids and observe their learning style, okay? Remember, each kid has different gifts. And allow them to discover what they enjoy and take interest in. And last but not least, pray with your child. Okay, with elementary age kids, the same, you know, with each, as I go through these, you can incorporate the first set with this next set. But so with the toddler age, add this with the elementary. Supervise their homework, but don't do it for them. Okay, ask what activities they want to do. Okay, let them know you expect them to do their best rather than be the best. And at this age, read scripture with them, have an age-appropriate devotional book, and pray with your child. The tweens and teens. Do you guys like being called tweens? That's kind of weird, isn't it? Okay. Be involved in their lives, but don't try to be their buddy. Okay. You still have to be a parent. Okay. Don't overschedule your child. One activity of their choice is enough. Be gracious when they make mistakes, but not oblivious. Monitor and limit their social media use. Okay, I can't emphasize that one enough. Okay, monitor and limit social media use. Okay, teach your children basic life skills they need for living on their own. Please do this. When these kids get out there, when I went to college, there were a lot of my roommates or a lot of people in our dorm who didn't know how to do laundry. They couldn't cook a meal. If they had a flat tire, they'd have to call mom and dad and ask what to do. Do these things, laundry, cooking, car maintenance, housekeeping, budgeting. Support their future plans. Help them discover the best possible path to get there. And again, pray with your child. Get them a devotional book. Keep them involved in the Word. Okay. As we move on, we're going to go to our next topic here, or our next point, and it's playing fair. Okay, no favorites. Accomplishments, awards, good grades, athleticism, musical ability, good looks, right? All right. No. So these are the things that society says we must possess in order to be noticed and recognized. Sadly, these are the very things many parents base their love for their children on, rather than acknowledging their abilities and gifts, but loving them just because. Parents would never admit that that's what they're doing because most of them don't even realize it, but when you consider the fact that nearly half of all teens feel intense pressure to succeed in school and extracurricular activities at, quote-unquote, all cost, and the fact that elementary-age children have been quoted as being afraid to tell their parents they don't want to participate in a particular activity for fear of not being as loved as their siblings, I think it's safe to say that we have a problem. Titus 2, the entire chapter of Titus 2 is a great example, but in Titus 2:7 it says this, "In everything, make yourself an example of good works with integrity and dignity in your teaching." Okay, as parents, are we approaching the way we treat our kids with integrity and dignity? Okay, are we treating our kids all the same? Parents don't intentionally cause trouble and contention between their children. They don't want a family that is full of resentment and dysfunction, but unless we're willing to commit ourselves and our homes to God and be honest with ourselves and learn from our mistakes, that's what we might get. But this problem, you see, it's not new to society. It goes back to the book of Genesis, and parenting goes back to the book of Genesis. Genesis, you know, be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. That's a verse Michelle and I have really taken to heart. But this problem goes way back to Genesis, and you see it with Isaac and Rebekah in chapter 27 of Genesis. And I got a lot to get through, so I'm not going to read through all this, but we see Rebekah showing extreme favoritism towards her son, Jacob. She goes as far as to help him lie and deceive her husband so that he will receive Isaac's blessing instead of Esau. This divisiveness shattered the family at this time, and Isaac and Rebekah's favoritism was the result of different personalities of their sons and their ability to connect with them. It's not necessarily wrong for a parent to feel closer to one child than another. You may have a lot more in common with one child over another, but this doesn't give you the right or excuse to be more attentive to them. You simply find ways to connect with your children, even if that means you have to get out of your comfort zone. If your kid likes a loud concert, take them to a loud concert, even if you have to wear earplugs. Do those things with your kids, okay? It's not about you. It's about your children and giving them the best parents possible because they deserve it. I'm also going to mention that in Genesis 27, it was God's plan that Jacob was the leader of Israel. But we see the favoritism played out in that section there. So unconditional love is the greatest gift that we as believers have been given. And it's the greatest gift that you can give to your children. So failing to treat your children fairly is a recipe, like I said, for disaster and dysfunction and resentment and anger. So treating your children fairly doesn't necessarily mean you have to give each kid the very same thing or do everything with one child that you've done with the rest of them. Remember from our first point, God made all of us uniquely different. So showing favoritism is dangerous for your family, your marriage, your relationship with God, and your children's relationship with God. But also by showing favoritism, you can do these things. You can send a message that one child is loved more than the others. You may send a message that the non-favorited child doesn't matter. It will bring friction into your relationship with your spouse. And it will also teach your children to put you and your spouse in contention with one another if there's the favoritism with one parent, not the other. So, again, we're going to look at some practical ways to recognize the danger signs of showing favoritism and how to combat favoritism and make sure that each of your children knows they're equally loved, respected, appreciated, and admired for the person that they are. So, again, we're going to start with the early age, starting with toddlers. Starting at an early age, be consistent with disciplining your children. The same rules need to apply throughout all your children. Ask different children what they want to do. Offer them the choice, what they want to do for that day. Another way is to take like one day a week is that kid's day. Let them choose what games they want to play, what books they want to read, what meals they want to eat, or what movie to watch. At our house, that would take up a full week schedule, so that's how we plan our meals. So tell your children how much God loves them also and how much you love them. Okay, let them realize they're loved. As they get a little bit older, elementary age kids, do all those things I just mentioned, but also do not compare your children to your other children or classmates. Don't say, he did this, why can't you do this? Attend events for all of your children. If they're involved in activities, go watch them. Don't assume that what one child likes, the other will also. Give children the opportunity to work and play together. Insist on respect and good manners between your children. I'm going to repeat this one. Insist on respect and good manners between your children. Okay. This is best accomplished by how your children see you interact with your spouse. Okay. Are you showing your spouse respect? Are you showing your spouse good manners? Is that the kind of environment you have in the house? If not, the kids will pick up on that, and they will have that other resentment. So again, let your children know that God loves them and that you do also. And then for the older, we'll just say teens. We're not going to say tweens anymore. For the older children, provide them opportunity for each of them to shine. Require your children to do chores because they're part of the family. Sorry, kids, do some chores. It's part of the duties. Have a date with each child. So take a kid out. Let them pick what they want to do. Don't expect them to follow in older children's footsteps or brothers or sisters or somebody else's footsteps. Give gifts that are chosen specifically for each child. Okay, so Anna might not like the same gift that mom and dad got Olivia. Okay, they probably have a different preference for what they get. And tell your children how much, again, God loves them and how much you love them. On to our next point, stop stepping in. Okay, and this is a problem we see in society a lot today is people don't want to take blame for their own faults. They like a way out. So in our first step, I mentioned that we love to protect our kids and we like to lead them away from danger. As parents, we feel it's our responsibility to protect children, and it is, but oftentimes as parents, we take it too far. Okay, there's no problem with protecting your child from danger, but the problem arises when we take the responsibility and their consequences for their actions. While we think it's good and we think it's protecting our children, what that really does is leave the child with no sense of remorse, no real responsibility, no respect or compassion for others, or understanding that there's consequences for actions, and that's part of growing up. And what you see now is a lot of people that have been pampered this way, and somebody's taking the blame for them in the jail system. We go and play basketball when Carly has ballet over at McAllister Center in Lafayette, and there's this other church there, and we started playing, and there's this guy started talking to me about church and stuff, and I said, yeah, I'm actually a pastor here in Rossville, and so we started talking a little bit more about the church and asked him what he does, and he doesn't serve in the church, but he's a lawyer there in town, and he said that the system and everybody he has to represent is so plagued with young people that never had a foot put down when they did something wrong, and somebody else took the blame, and the kids never had consequences, and now they're ending up in the jail system. So we see this as a very important thing. So learning how to let your children discover and become the person God created them to be by allowing them to experience the results of their mistakes and sin is essential for raising children who love and respect themselves, others, you, and God. Okay, we have to let them fall into those situations sometimes. We steer them clear of that. We lead them the right direction. When they go to those situations, they need to face the results of those situations. It's essential for parenting. And as parents, this is really painful to do and to watch. As parents, during these times, we need to stand by our children, absolutely, but not stand in for them. Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold discipline from a youth. If you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Sounds pretty intense. We're going to go through the word rod here in a little bit and go a little bit farther into that. But Proverbs 22:15 says this, foolishness is tangled up in the heart of youth. The rod of discipline will drive it far away from him. Being a loving parent doesn't mean shielding your children from being disciplined or punished for their mistakes and wrongdoings. No, a loving and godly parent will say to their child, I love you enough to allow you to take whatever is due you. Kids, you hate when parents say that. I'm doing this because I love you, right? Parents, have you said that? Come on. Yep, let me see those hands. All right. But this is what godly parents need to say. You know, I love you enough to allow you to take whatever's due you and stand beside you, letting you know I love you no less than I did before. Okay. It means that as a parent, you will express your pride in your child for having the integrity to own their mistakes and learn from them. In the book of Job, we see this played out. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And I'll read this for you. It says, there was a man in the country of Uz named Job. He was a man of perfect integrity who feared God and turned away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His estate included 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large number of servants. Job was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns having banquets at their homes. They would send an invitation to their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Whenever a round of banqueting was over, Job would send for his children to purify them, rising early in the morning to offer burnt offerings for all of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. A couple things. The word banquet here, they're having parties. Okay. And this is what I'm talking about. What was Job's response? He gets up early in the morning, offers a sacrifice for all of them because he thought his children had sinned. And this is, notice at the end, it adds this statement. This is his regular practice. Okay. If you want to raise kids who understand consequences, we don't keep stepping in for them. A couple things we noticed here. First is Job pampers his children even though they're grown at this point. Job was aware that his children's habits, he was aware of the children's habits of letting their celebrations get out of hand. And his response is to go above and beyond to shield his children from the consequences of their actions by offering peace offerings to God in an effort to take the blame on himself. And I know the main focus of the book of Job is not sacrificial offerings that Job made on behalf of his children. I also know this information was not put in Scripture by accident. And I want us to realize that Job's dedication to being an intercessor between God and his children is not what parenting is all about. And as parents, we need not to intercede on our children's behalf when they've wronged someone or done something they shouldn't have. Instead, we're to stand beside them, offering love and encouragement as they pay the consequences for their actions and become stronger and wiser through this process. And so what can we do to ensure that our children learn to be full of integrity and honor? First is to be a parent of integrity and honor. Okay, it starts at home. That first section we went through, 95% of kids say a parent is their hero. How are we handling ourselves at home? For parents of toddlers, let them know in advance what you expect from them and what the consequences for misbehaviors will be. Don't make too many rules. Focus on things that matter, such as issues of safety and respect for themselves, respect for others. Don't make excuses for child's negative behavior. Make sure the punishment fits the crime. Remember, the object of consequences is to learn from their mistakes. Pray with your kids. Okay. Elementary age, all those things, but also don't blame other children for your children's behavior. Don't say things like, my child wouldn't act that way if they weren't with that kid. Don't embarrass or humiliate your child by disciplining them in front of their peers. Okay. But also at the same time, if your kid can't go outside and play with their friends, they can own what they've done and tell their friend why they can't go outside and play. But don't do that in front of their friends. Don't hold your child's mistakes over their heads. Okay, deal with the situation and move on. Don't let it loom over them. Pray with your children. Have family devotion time. And encourage them to have a personal devotional as they gain reading skills and as they can grow that way. And for teens, adjust your child's boundaries, rules, and expectations as they get older. We can't have a high school kid and a toddler with the same curfew. We can't do that. Toddlers have curfews? What am I saying? But mine don't. They're always at home. So bad parenting 101 from Ben. No. Giving them more responsibility as they earn it. So as you get older kids, I'm sorry, teens, you're going to have to take on more responsibility, okay? Thoughtfully let your teen know that they will be treated like a little kid if they act like one. Notice that first word, thoughtfully. Don't just give it to them. So don't automatically take your child's side against a teacher or don't take a teacher's side against your child. Hear the situations out. Pray with your teen, do a family devotion, and encourage your child to have their own personal devotion time. And then our last section here is going to be the two F's of Christian parenting. And we're going to get into those. They're going to be faith and firmness. But before that, we're kind of going to go into this little section here, but over 25% of children under the age of 18 in the U.S. are being raised by single parents, primarily single moms. Okay, 25% of children under the age of 18. A large percentage of these are living paycheck to paycheck, barely making ends meet. And even then, most of them, or many of them, are dependent on some sort of assistance to do so. And then there's tens of thousands of military families that are separated due to military deployment, or families that have a parent whose jobs take them away for extended amounts of time. And being a single parent isn't easy, but it's also not impossible. In our last section, we're going to look at the two F's of parenting, Christian parenting, that are important for us, important for all parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, but they're also especially challenging and detrimental for single parents. Faith and firmness, we have to have those things. The thing is, books galore have been written about parenting, and there's so many parenting experts that can be found everywhere, and all of them have their own set of ideas of how we should be raising our children, and most of them are going to disagree with each other and have some different say-sos in that. But some say to let your children figure out who they are on their own with little or no interference. That is a code for guidance and discipline, okay? While others are going to warn parents against letting their children have too much freedom, we got to let kids think for themselves also until they leave for college or get a job and strike out on their own. And some experts say that any type of physical discipline is wrong and nothing short of abuse. And others are going to promote going the route of emotional discipline, even to the degree of publicly humiliating their kids. But in our last section, I want us as believers to see what the biblical view of having faith in God and protecting their families and bringing his plan looks like. And it's going to be, again, faith and firmness. And for this scripture, I'm just going to read again for you guys the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, 11 through 24. He also said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me.' So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to feed, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill of the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father. But while his son was still a long ways off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father told the slaves, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let's celebrate with a feast, because the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." As parents, it's scary for us, but there's a time when your children are going to need to make their own choices and decisions. When that happens, we need to focus on these two F's, faith and firmness. Okay. When the prodigal son left, that father prayed for his kid. He knew what was going on. One thing I want us to notice is when he says he was filled with compassion, he ran and threw his arms around him. Now, as we look at this, we know this guy has an estate and he has hired hands. This is a wealthy man. They didn't run. Okay, they walked everywhere. They were in control and in composure. But when he sees his son from afar and sees the kid he's been praying for, the kid he's been, you know, worried about, that's his response. Okay, he was faithful through this process. So as parents, what we need to do is have faith in God that he will protect our kids when they make poor choices. Have faith in your children to live in obedience and faith as you have taught them. Okay, that's why in every one of these points, I'm telling you, get in the word with your kids. Okay, pray with your kids. Okay, instill that faith and obedience that you've taught them. Be ready and willing to extend mercy and unconditional love when they make poor choices, and they will. Be ready to extend mercy without sending the message of tolerance and acceptance for their poor choices. And the final aspect of our message is on godly parenting we're going to look at is discipline and being a firm parent with a firm biblical foundation and perspective. Proverbs 13:24, again, we're going to see this word rod and we're going to go in to look at that. But the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves disciplines him diligently. Okay, when people hear the word rod, they get a little nervous thinking we're talking about beating our kids and is that what they're wanting from us? No. It's not what this verse is talking about. So shepherds then were as common as Starbucks and McDonald's are now. Okay, everybody was a shepherd, and if you weren't a shepherd, you knew somebody that was a shepherd, or you had a friend that was a shepherd, or somebody in the family was a shepherd. So everyone was familiar with the job of shepherding and the tools and the tricks of the trade. So the rod is what you see the shepherds carrying. Okay, you can picture like the manger scene. You see the shepherds with their rod. The rod was one of the tools that they used. And one thing we notice about when we see the shepherds is the rod has a big hook like this, right? Okay, it's kind of crooked at the top. And that's for the purpose of grabbing sheep quickly to protect them. They could wrap it around the neck and pull them away from danger or from being attacked. Okay, to care for their wounds or to rescue them from briars or rocks or rising waters. The rod was also used to prod them along and keep astray with the rest of the flock. The rod was also used to hook their legs, bring the animal off its feet so the shepherd could catch it and pick it up and carry it to protect it whenever necessary. Okay, so when we say the one who will not use the rod hates his son, it's talking about discipline. So in the same way, parents need to catch their children up and keep them out of harm and danger. That's using the rod. They need to prod them along with instruction, discipline, and expectations in order to keep them on the right path. And yes, we even need to figuratively take their feet out from under them and pick them up every once in a while to get their attention and then stop them from doing something that will possibly have lifelong consequences for them. And sometimes we need to take them off their feet to pick them up and carry them. Okay, that's our responsibility as parents. Okay. And when we don't use the rod, Scripture says, the one who does not use the rod hates his son. Okay, we discipline our children. Okay, we care for them. We protect them. And I'm going to finish up with a couple more practical ways to let your children know that they're loved enough. Let your child know you love them enough to be a parent that God desires you to be. Okay, so toddlers, elementary age, these are going to be some repeated things, but these are the final ones that I really want you to focus on. Pray for and with your children. Okay. Pray with your kids. Set clear boundaries and guidelines for your children. Set realistic expectations and consequences for their disobedience. Read Bible stories to your children that show the faith we have in God. Be consistent in your discipline and your praise. And find a friend or family member older than you to help mentor you in your parenting. Make sure that person's a Christian. Okay. Make sure it's a person that has that firm foundation. Okay. And teens, pray with and for your children. Again, read them Bible stories. Okay. Read stories with your children that show the faith that we have in God. Be consistent in your faith, discipline, and your praise. Demonstrate a life of faith in God. Set realistic expectations, rules, consequences for misbehavior. Again, find someone to mentor you that is a believer. Also, allow your teen to make more choices whenever possible as they age, and that's appropriate. And allow and require your teen to deal with the consequences of their choices, good or bad or indifferent. They need to own up to those. So as I close things up, and our worship team can go ahead and come on up, I just want to close by saying that the group of kids that we have are great kids. Kudos to you parents for what you've done in bringing them up. But even as a parent of seven, I need to be reminded of a lot of these things sometimes, and be reminded that I need to pray with my kid more. I need to get in the Word more with them. So as we leave here today, I want us to remember those things. And I want to encourage all of us to lift these kids up on a regular basis. As they face challenges and tests and hardships at school that weren't around when you and I were in school. And I also want us to keep the parents in our prayers, as they have one of the most difficult and rewarding jobs on planet Earth, and that's bringing up kids, the next generation of believers. And for the youth, I challenge you with this scripture, and I know you guys all know it, and it's one that we've gone through many times, but it's 1 Timothy 4:12, and it says this: "Let no one despise your youth. Instead, be an example to the believers in speech, conduct, and love, and faith, and purity." Okay? And that's just not for the young. Let no one despise your youth. Let no one despise us as believers. And we need to be example to others in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, just thank you for this day to come together and worship and be in your Word. God, we thank you for your Word and the truth it brings. And God, we just ask that the message today stirs these hearts and stirs emotions in these parents and gets them back to where they need to be if they've fallen off the path of biblical parenting, God. And just ask that it acts as a reminder for all of us to take advantage of the time we have with our kids and to pray with them and read scripture with them and pray over them and pray for their futures, God. We just thank you for this day, and thank you for the youth of this church, God. We thank you and just pray for your blessing over them. Pray that they can flourish and grow in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.